Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
And welcome back, everybody, to School of Human Potential Radio. I'm your host, Alan Weisberg, and tonight we have a rare treat. We have, as a guest, Deborah Poneman, and we're going to be talking about flowing with the river of abundance. In the interview, Deborah will share with us how to tap into the abundance now that's just waiting to flow into us, the simple shifts we can make so that we never again have to worry about money, the secrets that wealthy people know that others don't, and why not getting what we want could be the key to unlocking our greatest prosperity. Allow me to welcome a fellow Chicagoan, a friend, somebody who I greatly admire, founder and CEO of Yes to Success, and co-founder of Your Year of Miracles, Deborah Poneman. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Alan. It's so great to be with you. I love being with you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's your return visit, and we don't get to see you very much because you're so busy, but I'm very happy that you're able to make it on.
But we feel each other in the same city.
We do. We certainly do. And you live in the place that I grew up in, so it's really special.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, I know that many people know about you, but why don't we start with your background, maybe a little bit about your journey, because it's a fascinating journey. Every time I hear it, it just inspires me to continue with mine.
Well, I'll give you the short version. I think they would call it these days the Sparks Notes version. But basically, for the first decade of my adult life, I taught meditation full-time, and I also spent a lot of time studying with some of the greatest masters of the East. And I actually spent months at a time in deep meditation, 10 to 12 hours a day, sometimes a month at a time in silence. But at the end of that first decade, which was actually the 70s, now you know how old I am, at the end of that decade, I realized that woman does not live by love and meditation alone, and I had to make some money. And I left the meditation community that I was living in, moved to LA because I thought that that was where the money was. I started working for a financial company because that was where I thought the money was. Mm-hmm. And I was a dismal failure. That's another story. But we know that everything that we do is always going to lead us to something higher if we actually have an appreciation for it. So a lot of people are in jobs and they grumble against it because they'd rather be doing something else. But what I always teach people is appreciate, look for the good in that job because that is going to bring you, it's going to open up the receptivity, not the grumbling, but the appreciation is going to open up that passage for you to be led to the next great thing. So I was selling investments, and one day a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go to a seminar on money, and I thought it was going to be on stocks and bonds, hopefully to make me a little bit better at what I was doing. And it turned out to be, now this is in the early 80s, and it turned out to be that the gentleman who was giving this presentation was actually talking on the law of attraction. So this is about 34 years ago, and nobody was talking about the law of attraction at the time, and I was mesmerized when he started talking about how the power of our mind is what creates our reality, and if we think thoughts that are positive, that we're going to attract vibration, we're going to vibrate into our life circumstances that are positive and negative, we're going to vibrate into our life circumstances that are negative. But in terms of this talk that we're going to have tonight about flowing with the river of abundance, I love that he talked about how true prosperity had nothing to do with working hard or opening a 401k or finding the right investment. He said that again, your dominant thought, whether it's of lack and limitation or affluence and abundance, was going to manifest in your life. And he said the quickest way to become wealthy and successful was to help other people become wealthy and successful. And he said that the way to keep money away from you was by being jealous or resentful of other people's prosperity, and that we criticize what we think we can't have. And the way to draw money to us was to rejoice in the success and the prosperity of others. And when you see someone who has something you want, instead of putting down their character and mumbling under your breath about what a jerk that person is, you send them blessing from your heart to theirs and also say, and that's for me. And I'll tell you, the funniest thing about that night, he told us to take the money out from our wallets and talk to it. He really did. He said, take your money out and tell your money how much you love it and appreciate it. I mean, can you imagine that, the room full of people, and they take out their money. I love you, money. You are so dear to me. I'm so thrilled to have you in my life, and I want you to multiply and have babies. But it was fun. It was like the energy. You could just feel it shift in the room. And basically, his point was, he said that most people are actually uncomfortable with or even afraid of money, and they just want to get it out of their lives as fast as they can. And I realized that I was in that category. I treated money like it, you know, it had the cooties. I spent it really fast because I felt uncomfortable having a lot of it. I didn't love it. I feared it. And as I implemented what he shared with us, and I studied more about what the great masters of success and prosperity said to do to make more money flow, I started literally to have massive amounts of money come into my life in completely unexpected ways. And the other part, I know you love this part of my story, is that I decided that I was going to teach these principles around creating success and abundance. Mm-hmm. And by using the principles that I had begun to teach, I basically created an international presence within a few years, and that was way before the date of the internet. That was by telephone and snail mail, and my seminar where I taught principles of success and prosperity was in 7 countries on 4 continents and almost every major U.S. city within about 3 years. Wow. That's my story.
Yeah, so one of the true originals, and I love that background. I know some of the other things that you did is that you, when you decided that your family was more important at the height of those successes, you took a break because family was more important, and it's fascinating.
I did. I took a short little 21-year break to be at home with my kids, and that was because I taught people to follow their hearts, and I taught. And I taught people that I know that all of us, we're so sensitive. We have authenticity meters just built in. And if I tell people to follow their heart, if that's my teaching, and my heart was home with my kids, and I was running around teaching seminars, where would my authenticity meter be? Like way over in negative territory. So I just followed my heart, and I stayed home for 21 years. I said, if you ever wanted to find me, just look for me at Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow. Well, that certainly takes guts and being authentic, and we applaud you for doing that. Speaking of money, I love the example that you shared about taking out the money and talking to it and not worrying about money. Every year, what I do is, I'm not sure exactly why I started doing that, but it was just a thought. And for quite a long period of time, when I go to the celebration of the new year, I take more and more money with me every year. I take it as cash, I put it in my pocket, and then every year, the money in my life keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. So it's been a good luck charm, but also a strategy that I'm using for the law of attraction on how to make sure that the year is an abundant one. So very, very interesting. I take out my money. I'll talk to it some more.
Tell it. You love it. And you know what, Alan? That is a great technique. I love that. I tell people that they should have a minimum of $100 in their wallet at all times. And that's even if you're trying to, like, you know, you think, oh, $100. I wish I had $100. Find $100, put it in your wallet, because then every time you go into your wallet, you'll feel that feeling of abundance, and even $100 bill would be nice. And if that's not a lot in your world, then maybe you should go around with $1,000 in your wallet.
Very, very cool. What I wanted to ask you, and I know, you know, we have many wonderful guests on, they have their philosophies and techniques as to how we can actually bring that abundance into our lives. Mm-hmm. I know that you have been teaching how to do this for many, many years. Can you tell us some of the basic premises that you're using?
Yeah, I can and I will. And I want to add that from that day over 30 years ago when I, and by the way, you know that I quit my job the next day after I went to that seminar on money. And I just studied with the great metaphysical thinkers from the last decade, or actually the last millennium and before, have to say about creating abundance. And I read scores of books and I listened to hundreds of hours of tape. And I taught the principles to thousands of people who not only became millionaires and billionaires, but a lot of people who actually gave away everything they had from taking my seminar, and some who resigned from their six-figure positions when they discovered that abundance, what abundance was for them. Mm-hmm. And what I taught to all those people starts with the basic premise that prosperity is the birthright of every single one of us. We don't have to do anything or be anything or prove ourselves to anyone. We deserve to prosper just because we are a human being. And we each have everything we need to create our own prosperity now. And one of the reasons why I can prove to you that you deserve prosperity, and I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I have to say that there isn't a scripture, there isn't a philosopher, there isn't a thinker like Napoleon Hill or Wallace Wattles or Florence Shin or Emmett Fox or Earl Nightingale, all of these great metaphysical thinkers of the last 100 years, they all say the same thing, and it's also in the Bible, and that is that the righteous shall flourish, like it says in the Bible, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and grow like the cedars in Lebanon. It doesn't say in the people who are out there hurting other people or creating negativity or manipulating shall flourish. No, it's good people, like all of your listeners, people who are seeking ways to be better, the ways to contribute not only to themselves but to the planet. The righteous shall flourish. So that's our birthright. And you know, I know that the creator in, or God or whatever you call that energy in creation, whatever the God of your understanding is, God the Father, also says, all that I have is yours. All the infinite abundance in the world was created for you, for everyone listening. And if you're not enjoying a life of abundance, it's simply because somehow you are doing something to stop the flow. And we're like that little child who's watering her flowers, and inadvertently she steps on the garden hose and she gets all upset and says to her dad, "Daddy, there's no more water anymore to water my flowers." And the father laughs and says, "Sweetheart, there's plenty of water, but you just want to take your foot off of the hose." So we are stepping on the hose of our abundance. So what I would love to do is share with your listeners how to stop stepping on the hose, because they don't have to learn how to create the flow of prosperity. It's flowing all around us. What we have to do is notice those behaviors that are keeping that prosperity stuck.
Makes perfect sense. And we actually will go through those strategies right after this break. Please stay with us.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wish Flower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wish Flower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
And welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio. We're talking with Deborah Poneman about flowing with the river of abundance. Before the break, we left off with saying that there are ways that Deborah is going to show us on how to make sure that that hose is not blocked and we continue with the flow. So, Deborah, how do we do that?
Well, you know, one thing I just want to address is that a lot of people think that they have to work hard in order to make money. And when I say things like it wants to flow to you, they're like, oh, yeah, right. You know, do I just like sit back and let it flow? And all I say is, hey, try this on. Okay. And if it works for you, you pick a few of the things that I share. And if they work for you, great. And if they don't, then go back to working hard. But I've done it both ways. And a lot of the people that I know have done it both ways. And I'll tell you, it's a lot more fun. And that doesn't mean that we just, you know, sit in front of the TV and watch soap operas and drink Diet Coke and eat Cheetos and we expect that the money is going to flow to us. No, we also take action. But along with the action, we use these energetic principles. And that's what I love, because when you, here's an analogy, okay? So think of this universal intelligence, the creator, like the sun. Okay, and the sun shines everywhere the same, all right? It doesn't shine more on poor people or white people or black people or Asian people or rich people, whatever. The sun is neutral, all right? But we can decide how much sun flows to us, right? We can put up an umbrella and say, oh my gosh, I'm not getting any vitamin D. Or we can go live in a bunker underneath the ground and we could die because of a lack of vitamin D. But that's our choice, okay? But it's not that the light of the sun discriminates. And the truth is that every act that we do, every word that we speak, every thought that we entertain either allows more light of grace into our lives or it puts a veil between us and the light of grace. And when I say the light of grace, I mean this energy in the universe that is completely abundant, that wants us to flourish like the cedars in Lebanon. So it's just another way of saying that we can step on the hose, we could put up veils between us and our abundance, and we do. And the And again, you know, I teach weekend seminars, and I use this as an example. I say to people, how many of you have experienced being a part of a seminar like this, and you feel so good and full of light and energy? And I know that your listeners, they've all gone to weekend seminars, and at the end of the weekend, they feel so empowered, and they're going to go out, and they're going to conquer the world, and this feeling is never going to go away. But then you get to the airport, and you're smiling at everyone, and your heart is overflowing, and then you find that your plane is 2 hours late. Right? So already you feel a little contracted, am I right? And your light begins to dim a little, and that's okay. You're still feeling love and expanded, and then your plane gets delayed again. And you know this time now you're going to miss your connecting flight. So now you're getting a little bit of little tense, and the light's dimming a little bit, and then you call home, and your spouse reads you the riot act for being late as if it's your fault, and then, you know, your mother-in-law has been helping watch the kids, just can't hold it in anymore and wants to know why you left them alone for 4 days in the first place, and and you're thinking, I can't stand my mother-in-law, and then the light dims a little more, and when, you know, and then it goes on from there. The plane finally gets announced, you get on the plane, you're so happy there's an empty seat next to you, and just about the doors are supposed to close, and someone comes running down the aisle with six bags and sweating and sits in the empty seat next to you and pulls out a tuna fish sandwich. And it's like by the time you get home and you see that the recycling hasn't been taken out and the field trip permission slip was not handed in, even though there's a gigantic note that says hand this in on Friday, and you just, all of the light and all of the good intention, it seems to be completely gone. Okay, so now, you haven't been away from the seminar for even 24 hours, and the light that felt like it was never going to go away, you wonder if it was ever there in the first place. So, Alan, do you know what I'm talking about here?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was at a seminar in Arizona for Celebrate Your Life, and I remember walking out into the airport and feeling on wings of joy and happiness and sunshine, and then seeing all of the non-smiling faces in the airport starts to really put a dimper in you right away.
Okay, so that was exactly, yeah, that Celebrate Your Life, that could do it. So, So the reason why it happens, it has nothing to do with the plane or the person who sat next to you or your mother-in-law or your partner. None. It has nothing to do with any of those circumstances. It only has to do with your reaction to those circumstances. We don't have control over the circumstances, but we have every bit of control over our reaction. You leave the space of light and love, and you start reacting. And as you react, it feels like your light is getting dimmer and dimmer, because whenever we resist, whenever we react, we put up the veil. Okay? You know, our spouse, our mother-in-law pushes our buttons, we blow up, we say something nasty, we add a veil. When we, you know, talk ill about our mother-in-law, we put up a veil. But we have another choice. And remember, it's not only the veil of that light that's pouring on everybody, but it's a veil of it's abundance that's pouring on everybody. So if we could realize that the universe is always giving us a gift every time something happens in our lives, because it's giving you an opportunity to live differently. One of the modalities that I'm a huge fan of is access consciousness. And basically, instead of resisting and reacting, they say that you can just say, well, that's an interesting point of view. I hadn't thought of that. Like when your mother-in-law says, and why did you leave for 4 days? You shouldn't have left the kids. Instead of thinking, that old battle axe, I can't stand her anyway. It's, that's an interesting point of view. I hadn't thought of that. And don't own it. And if you do that, suddenly you see everything as a gift. The plane being late is a gift that you can enjoy a few more hours of quiet time. When your husband, you know, yells at you or says something that you think is ridiculously stupid, instead of reacting, it's a precious opportunity to not react and bring more light. So you see, it's not necessarily a one-to-one ratio of you working hard or you even doing specific prosperity exercises. What it is that same light of grace that will bring you happiness, that will bring you joy, that will bring you ease of life, will also bring you abundance. So that's just one thing that you can do instead of reacting. That's an interesting point of view. And then give thanks for the gift of whatever it is, whether it's 3 more hours in the airport or the lovely person that sat next to you on the plane or that the recycling wasn't taken out.
Yeah. Our mutual friend, Darren Weissman, you know, we were talking about driving in Chicagoland and people cutting you off and some people showing you the bird. And he would just give them, you know, infinite love and gratitude in return and move on.
You could even take it a step further. You could say, thank you for cutting me off, because now I have a chance to not react and I have a chance for great spiritual gain. And when you don't react, but you just, because you don't know why that person might be in a hurry because they have a child at home who is ill, or they have a parent who's undergoing chemo and they want to be there for them and the traffic is thick. So you don't know why they cut you off. But if you just say, thank you instead of, then you've opened yourself up to that grace. You've opened yourself to that abundance instead of laying on the horn, which you could feel energetically. You know that you're closing your space off to the abundance that's all around you and wants to flow to you.
Very much. And also a matter of perspective and the reflection, because that same person moving through the airport, as I was pointing out, on wings of happiness, they could be looking at the smiling faces, or they could be looking at the children in the crowd and feeling happy, or seeing that everybody is busy and unhappy. So it's all of what you see and choose to see at that moment that will allow your life to, light to shine or not.
Absolutely. And the harder it is to see the beauty, you know, the more intense the circumstance, the greater the light will be and the greater the spiritual gain will be when you do choose to see the light instead of the lack thereof.
Yeah, and remember that everybody that comes into your life, if we're taking it from that perspective, has been a gift to you. There is a soul contract. There is an agreement between you and them to teach you certain lessons or to bring you experiences so you can learn or choose how to react to them. And the harder it is and the more criticism you're getting, or some people in your life who are really, really annoying you or acting in the worst possible way, your reaction to those people will show you where you are in your spiritual development. Mm-hmm. I had a situation yesterday where I had probably one of the harshest criticisms that I've ever heard from some people. And the way that I reacted to it, even though it took me aback, was infinite love and gratitude to you. And God bless you, and you know, enjoy. And let it go, release, and move on. Instead of getting down to a certain level, decrease the vibrations, and start getting into an argument. So it really does show you where you are, what you can do, and then abundance is just another area of it.
Yeah, and it's actually simple. You know, a lot of people make it too complicated, this flow of abundance. It really is simple. And you know, and these things are, people know that the techniques to bring abundance into your life are simple. They know that they can do them, and it's all a choice. It's a choice at every moment, every moment, every moment.
Perfect. So in terms of that choice, I know it sounds simple. But is it really that simple? How do we convince the people? And I know that's a very interesting way of saying it, because you can never convince anybody of anything. But how do we allow people to understand that it's really that simple?
Well, first of all, it is that simple, because all you need to do is to align with the flow of prosperity that's all around us. And actually, if everyone who's listening now, if we could just stop, you and I could just stop talking for like 10 seconds. And you could feel that there is a vibration all around you. Feel that vibration of light. We never stop to feel it. But there is a vibration of light. There is a vibration of grace. And all we have to do is align with it. Now, it would be nice if we could just pray or raise up our hands, or, you know, we can go to some healer and they could wave a magic wand and all of the abundance would flow to us. But we have to change our vibration. We have to attune to the vibration of prosperity. And most of us don't vibrate with the vibration of prosperity because we've been so conditioned not to, and we've been so beat up over the years. But the truth is, Alan, that it doesn't even matter how much money you have in the bank, because poverty and prosperity don't so much live in your pocketbook as they do in your mind. And I mean, do you know somebody who's really wealthy, has millions and millions of dollars, but they act like they're poor and they're pinching pennies and they're always complaining that they're broke and they never give money to others or to nonprofits? Do you know anybody like that?
I do, yes.
Yeah, and I do too. And do you know anyone who doesn't have much at all but loves their they go to cultural events and excursions, and they have friends over, and they love their lives. Do you know people like that?
Very much so.
Yeah. So where does prosperity live? In the mind? Yes. So if we want to uncreate poverty and create prosperity, then all we have to do is uncreate it in our minds.
True. And what are some of the practical steps that you're teaching people on how to do just that?
Okay, well, surprise, surprise. and I don't want to seem simplistic, but I have to tell you, the most powerful technique is, would you please stop talking about how poor you are?
Yeah.
You know, I can hardly pay my mortgage. I'm never going to get out of debt. My wealthy days are over. I can't even afford a new pair of jeans. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, even the Bible says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be added unto you. It doesn't say, maybe if you decree a thing, who knows, it might be added unto you. I mean, your words are so powerful. Actually, I want to tell a quick story about it. Did you ever hear about my near-death experience that I had last year?
I don't believe I did, actually.
I don't think that I shared it with you, but last year, almost exactly a year ago, you know, forever I've been talking about the power of words. I mean, ever since I started teaching this knowledge in the early 80s. And I used to say that your words have manifesting power. And I knew it because I knew from my own life, as soon as I stopped making these declarations like, I'm never going to get out of debt, I'm never going to find a way to make a lot of money, and just started making positive expectant statements of what I did want, I saw my life shift. And what happened was, a year ago, I won't tell you all the gory details, but I was very, very ill. And it was a Saturday. It was actually June 8th. It was a Saturday. And I was lying in bed thinking, you know, I might die here. And I did what any intelligent person would do at that moment. I called my friend, Bill Farber, great healer. And he looked in on me remotely. And he said, I can help you. And you have to do what I ask you to do. I said, anything. I whispered, anything. He said, call 911 immediately. And he doesn't usually say that. Mm-hmm. And I called 911, and by the time the paramedics got to my house, they said, they asked me what hospital I wanted to go to, so I said Evanston, and they commiserated, and they decided they didn't have time to get me there because my blood pressure was now 67 over 20-something, and usually if it goes under 70, it's a very good chance that you're not going to make it. And later they told me they didn't have 10 minutes. They had like 3 minutes to get me to the hospital. So they went to another hospital that was right around the corner from where I lived. And while I was in the emergency room, what happened was that I was lying there on the gurney, and I was thinking that I could very easily die. And that wasn't that big of a deal to me, live, die. You know, at least my mother is already gone, so she wouldn't be that, you know, I wouldn't want to die before my mother. It'd be too much for her. But I'm either thinking, you know, death, whatever, new adventure. But all of a sudden, I noticed that when my eyes were open and when my eyes were closed, I could see what was going on in the room. Only when my eyes were closed, I could see it as moving light. I could see the people, but I could see that there was this light that orchestrated everything in that emergency room. And the people thought that they were doing what they were doing, but they weren't. There was a light that was like lifting the hand of the nurse as she hung up the IV bag. And then I noticed that there is a perfection in everything that was going on, that there were, in fact, no mistakes. Like if somebody dropped something, it seemed like a mistake, but when they bent down to pick it up, then the other nurse could see a monitor that needed to be seen that she wouldn't have seen if the person hadn't dropped the thing. And I saw the perfection in creation. It was so mind-blowing. It was just like the most powerful thing I'd ever seen. And then what happened, by this time my husband had arrived, and he was, needless to say, very concerned, and the nurse noticed how concerned he was, and she went over to him, she put her hand on his shoulder and said to him, don't worry, she's going to be fine. And there was no way that I was going to be fine at this point. They were still basically fighting to save my life. But when she said she's going to be fine, I saw this light come out of her mouth, the words, she's going to be fine, and they went onto my body, and they strengthened my body. They made my body fine. It was so unbelievable, Alan. It was like the most powerful experience I'd ever had. And to top it off, a few moments later, the doctor came in, looked at the monitor, freaked out, and said, if you don't get that blood pressure up, we are going to lose her. Oof. Ooh, I could feel it again right now because I felt the words go right out of his mouth. They were like this gray, kind of murky color. They went onto my body and weakened me. We are going to lose her. It went right into my physiology. And at that moment, I realized why I had gotten ill, because it was just to show me in no uncertain terms that when everything we speak, good or bad, is creating, our words have manifesting power. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I had the strength to speak, but I didn't. I couldn't even whisper at the time. I wish I could just tell everyone to stand around me and say, she's going to be fine, she's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then I could have just jumped up and gone off to the gym to have a workout. But that's how powerful our words are. So when people say, you know, I'm so broke, I'm never going to get out of debt, I'm never going to find the right job, and that's what you're creating. So you got to cancel it. You got to clear it, and you have to make a positive statement of what you do want. I promise you, that's how it works. I saw it with my own inner eye.
That's an amazing story. Well, we're certainly happy that you had that experience and are able to share it with us.
Right. And obviously, I lived.
Yeah. No, that's truly amazing. We knew of this power. We read about it. And I think everybody, you know, whether you're esoteric or not, have seen numerous examples in your life, whether you're doing it or you see somebody else do it. I always go back to an example of me and my best friend going to a tennis tournament. And I was, you know, very happy and I was loose. And I said, I'm going to do very, very well, maybe even win this thing. And my friend at the same time was saying, I suck. I'm going to get out of the first round. I don't think I'll win a match. And both things became true. He sucked and he lost. And I almost won the tournament. So to me, even though I think he's actually a better player at that time, it was because of your intention. It is because of the energy that we were projecting and how we were looking at the situation. So if you're negative, that's what you're attracting. If you're positive, that's what you're attracting. Is it always going to work? Just because you're positive about winning the lottery, is that going to work? No. But being positive attracts positive things into your life.
Yes. And you build up the momentum. You might not win the lottery, but if you continue to have positive expectations of the good that's coming to you and you speak those words and you think those thoughts, you start living in what I call the miracle zone. It's like people say, I teach this course called Your Year of Miracles, and people say, oh, I had a positive thought, the miracle didn't happen. Well, no, you can't create miracles. I mean, that's like a gift from the divine, but you can put yourself in the zone where miracles are just the order of the day, where they just show up in your life nonstop. And one of the ways that you put yourself in the miracle zone is by speaking powerful, positive, expectant words of success and prosperity and good.
Yeah, and just to clarify, for some people who, you know, have watched The Secret or have tried to win the lottery and they keep wondering why they don't, if it's not in your soul contract to win the lottery because it's not in your best interest from that perspective, you're not going to win the lottery.
Yeah.
Because that's not what you came here to experience. It has nothing to do with law of attraction.
I always say that when you ask the Creator for something, even when you're praying, you'll only get three answers. Yes, not yet, or I love you too much to answer that prayer.
Oh, interesting. I haven't thought about that. That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
All right. So, why don't we take another short break? When we come back, I wanted to ask you about, you know, how it can be the biggest gift in not getting what you want, speaking of lottery or anything else that people are asking for. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say but wow? I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirmed so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task. Never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yako Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. And welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. We're talking to Deborah Poneman about flowing with the river of abundance. So, Deborah, before the break, I asked you a question, and I'd like to follow up on that. How can it be that the biggest gift is not getting what you want?
Wow, I love that question. And, okay, I'll share that. I feel that these economic hard times or recession, I'm not afraid to say the words. People, oh, don't say the word recession because you don't want to manifest it. But see, the thing is, it doesn't hold any charge for me because I actually think it's a gift. And I know that I create my own reality. So it only holds a charge if you choose to let it hold a charge. And again, I think it's a great gift and a valuable awakening for a lot of people who actually thought that having material things is going to somehow bring them happiness. You know, in the 90s, people kept buying things and accumulating things almost that to the point that it became an addiction. And I know, I mean, I have friends who still do it. They keep buying things as a way to fill a void. I mean, and it's no less of an addiction than drugs or alcohol or food. But back in the 90s, I really, really saw it during the dot-com boom and the housing boom. And people spending money so that they don't have to feel, okay? And by the way, it's not that I don't love material things. I totally do. I love having a beautiful house. I love driving a nice car. I love being able to help others, give to nonprofits. And I'm all for visualizing yourself lying on a beach in Cancun. Absolutely do it. Feel the sand under your feet. Feel the sun beating down. See that crystal clear water. And I'm totally into visualizing until you have that feeling that you're there. Boom. And also that raises your vibration. And you want to raise your vibration to that level of abundance. And one of the ways to do it is to visualize yourself in these places and with where you feel abundance. And I also know that money likes to be respected. So if everything in life is a gift, we can see that the need to cut back is also a gift if we use it as a tool for growth, okay? Because I know a lot of people who have a lot of money and they lost it. They lost it because they had invested in real estate. They lost it because they had invested in the stock market. I have a lot of friends who are very, very wealthy, and they're not anymore. But here's what I recommend as a great spiritual practice, so you could try this. Let's say you're walking through a mall, and you see the perfect, I'll do a chick thing, the perfect pair of red shoes, and you absolutely have to have them. This is a pair of shoes that you would have bought without a second thought. When you had a lot of money, when you were in a position to spend, you know, $400 or $500 for a pair of shoes, boom, even though you had 2-3 pairs of red shoes already. Okay. Now you can't. As you stand there, allow yourself to feel the discomfort, to feel the contraction, to feel the sadness, to feel the fear. Locate it in your body, breathe into it. And ask the discomfort what it's there to tell you. And it will always give you an answer. It might be there to tell you that you don't need those shoes to be happy after all. All you really need to do is to just go home and share with the people in your life how much you love them. Or it might be there to tell you that what you really need to be happy is to take the money that you might have spent on those shoes and give it to a homeless shelter. Or anonymously to a family that you know can't even put food on their table. Or you might just be standing there, and once you feel it, you might just laugh out loud when you realize how ridiculous it was that you were about to buy another pair of red shoes when you do already have 3 pairs that you hardly ever wear. Or you might feel choked up and begin to cry because you realize you were about to buy the shoes in order to not feel the feeling you had when you were a child when you never had a pair of new shoes. So, although we live in an abundant universe and there is nothing evil or bad about money, the trying or tough times can be a wonderful gift to show us what it is that we really need in order to be happy. And it's not usually another pair of shoes.
That is true. I've purchased plenty of pairs of shoes, and I know the answer to that is true.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you just buy things, and when they don't fill the void, it makes the void even deeper. So I say feel the feeling. And again, money likes to be respected. Money likes to, even though I say when somebody buys something and they write their check or they use their credit card, they should make the statement, every dollar I spend comes back to be multiplied. Again, every dollar I spend comes back to me multiplied. And I also teach people to, instead of putting their attention on how much money they just spent, oh my God, that was like $150 for three bags of groceries. This is ridiculous. I'm never going to Whole Foods again. No, put your attention on the abundance of, you know, the things that are just pouring out of your grocery bag, the kale and the bananas and the mozzarella cheese, and just like appreciate that we live in a land where we can have this gorgeous, organic, healthy food. So you put your attention on the abundance and not on the lack.
Yeah, and it's sometimes hard for the people because we're so conditioned as a society to think that there is a lack. Money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard. You know, you need this, you need that. We are preconditioned and pre-programmed with that particular aspect, that money is something that takes a long time and is difficult to get. Same thing with health, same thing with energy, same thing with water. And the fact is, it's not. It's just as available. There is no lacking. All you have to do is swim in those waters.
Right. And as I say, you know, there's that river of abundance, and it's the same thing as that flow of light. And instead of jumping into that river of abundance, we like run around in circles on the shore. And all we have to do is, again, jump into the river of the abundance and don't stop the flow. Just keep flowing. And later on, I want to tell you something that wealthy people know that the rest of us don't.
Well, that's perfect. Thank you. Speaking of gifts, and before we get to that question, I know you have a gift for our audience, and I wanted for you to go ahead and let us know about it.
Well, actually, I have a product that I want to tell them about that I want to give to them, not for free, but for the a very amazing price, and I'll tell you what it is. First of all, I want to say to everyone that we all came here to have the most amazing experience on this planet, and this product that I created is the product that thousands of people around on the planet said was the catalyst for their lives to completely shift from getting by to living an amazing life. And this knowledge was used by people who became millionaires and billionaires and people who became New York Times best-selling authors and manifested their soulmates, and their life became the life that they were longing for. And there were, and these are everyday people like you and me, homemakers, educators, you know, body workers, office workers. And what I did years of research and hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews, and I interviewed some of the wealthiest people on the planet and the happiest people on the planet and tried the techniques myself, and I put them together into my Yes to Success program because I want everyone to have the same shift that these people have had and more. So, and speaking of gifts, this is a great gift to purchase for anyone who's struggling with their life purpose or stuck and needs something to get them unstuck so that their life can shift. And what I did, this is a product that people have attended my seminars live for up to $895. That was the price that people paid, but I put the entire Yes to Success seminar on MP3s, and I put it on a URL just for your listeners for $97.
Well, yeah, so even though it's not free, it is a gift.
It is a gift with my love. And if they don't love it, then I give them the $97 back and they still have it as MP3. So in that case, it could be a gift. But see, the reason why I don't give it away is because there has to be an energy exchange in order for, that's just the way the world works. Do you know that there's an energy exchange? You give some money, you get great benefit, and it's a cyclical thing that brings the greatest benefit. But it's at Yes to Success. It can be found at yestosuccess.com/splash
special offer. It's a splash of knowledge, special offer, and we'll put that link up on our site as well. So www.yestosuccess.com/special offer. Perfect. So what is it that wealthy people know that others don't?
What they know is don't be too concerned about money and be more concerned about joy in your life. And that joy will attract money. And I'm going to give you a way to increase your joy. And it's a little game I learned from Abraham Hicks, you know, Esther Hicks. Mm-hmm. And it's the wouldn't it be nice game. And all you have to do is whenever you feel down or discouraged or you're experiencing lack or even despair, just say to yourself or to a friend, let's play the wouldn't it be nice game. And just start saying what you want. For example, wouldn't it be nice if her business completely turned around? Wouldn't it be nice if we ended up being more successful than we even imagined? Wouldn't it be nice if money just showed up on my doorstep in an unexpected way to pay all my bills and more? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Just go back and forth. Get outrageous. Because the reason this technique is so effective is because it's just a game, so there's no resistance. But it will put you in the vibration of joy and all possibilities, and the universe will bring you the essence of what you're vibrating, of what you're putting your attention on. That's the law of attraction. And by playing this game, you're putting your desire out to the universe and giving the universe a lot of latitude to bring you something amazing. But the key, and again, this is what wealthy people know, be liked. And I'm talking about wealthy people who are enjoying their prosperity and wealthy people who have inner wealth, and they might not be driving a Bentley, but they are wealthy. And they know that the most important thing is to be light, have fun, and live in that vibration of joy.
Perfect. Well, Deborah, we're coming to the end. Any final thoughts that you have for our listening audience?
Well, the one other thing that I would say to everybody, and again, surprise, surprise, and that is, make a habit of appreciating what you do have. And I said this earlier, but it's such a simple place to start. I know that I've shared a lot of things today, but, you know, the person who is the least well off listening to this call, if you are listening on a computer, you are better off than about 95% of the people on the planet. Think about it. If you have a roof over your head, and you have some food in your refrigerator, you are better off than about 75-85% of the people on the planet. So all I say is appreciate the abundance that you do have, and what you appreciate, appreciates.
Wonderful. Deborah, it's such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much for being alive and able to share these wisdom with us and the gifts that you bring to the world. You're an inspiration. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I love you, and I love the School of Human Potential, and thank you for being you.
Oh, I do my best, and I enjoy every moment of it. And for all of you wonderful listeners, thank you so much for listening. One parting thought that I wanted to share with you. for anybody that's thinking that all of the stuff that Deborah and I were just talking about is esoteric and not practical and not applicable, if you don't believe it, believe this. Everything in my life that I have accomplished, from every job to every dollar to anything that I have attracted, all of the principles that Deborah just pointed out were utilized. It works. It's real. Everything is possible if you choose to do it. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.